please take your hymnals and turn to page 387 in your hymnals, 387, Near to the Heart of God. Let's all stand, shall we? 387. On the second now.
There is a place of comfort sweet near to the heart of God, a place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, that Redeemer sent from the heart of God, those who wait
Aren't you glad summer's here? Whew. Why are you so quiet? That's weird, isn't it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we are in the best place. Here we feel nearer to the heart of God. We feel that this is for you. Every other place is distracting, but this is for you, your house, singing your songs, exalting your word. Lord, I know there are some people that can't be here tonight. I pray you give them strength. If they need healing, give them that. If they need encouragement, give them that. I pray tonight that we will be helped and encouraged and strengthened and stirred and taught. If you need to correct us, correct us. Just do whatever will be best for our Christian life, Lord, so that is just the very best way to be ready to meet you. Thank you for this time to be together and just put our every thought. Help us to do that, God. Just that we would put every thought on you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated.
Page 398. How long has it been? Page 398.
Since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord.
let's go quick. We want who's ever at the Berkey's to just tear that house up. Thank you. You guys move quick for older gentlemen. The other two are kind of, I don't know, there, but look at them. They're much older. Sign up for the ladies' banquet, mother-daughter feast, whatever it is. Make sure that you, sign up. Make sure you come. Make sure you invite. Make sure you pray. See Amy if you would like to help out in any way. And after goes, there's a sign up. I can't believe April's over. It's over. I can't believe it's over. Wow. Time's going fast. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, there is so much that you do for us that we don't know. We miss. I don't know if we forget. I think a lot of it, you just do it. And God, we admit that there's so much that happens in our lives that unknown to us. Just the way you cause things to happen or not happen because you care about us. You care so much for us, you said, if you care about the birds, we are way more valuable to you than the birds. Thank you that we don't have to worry. You said the flowers don't toil or spin, but we do. I pray that we would just trust you. You said the just shall live by faith, not by effort, not by works, not by trying harder. You said the just shall live by faith. I want that to be true. For me, of course for others, but they have to pray that. Help us tonight. Bless us tonight. Speak to us tonight, God. Encourage us tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
choir, please shake your hymnals one more time. 397. 397. No one understands like Jesus. Let's all stand. 397.
No one understands like Jesus. He's our friend beyond compare. Meet him at the throne of mercy. He is waiting for you there. No one understands like Jesus. When the days are dark and
seated. Era is going to play a special now.
Psalm 27, or as my dad would call it, Psalm. Do you ever struggle with some of the pronunciations? Some say Haggai. Some say Haggai. Some say potato. Wait, no, that's not the Bible. Some say Genesis. Some say Genesis. Checking to make sure you're listening. Psalm 27, the best place to see God. What do you think he looks like? Think he's tall, dark, and handsome? The Bible says God is a spirit. This is a fun psalm, just for your information. You don't need to do anything with this. I'm just telling you this because it's me. I've prayed for years. I've prayed through this psalm. And you ought to try that. If you don't do it, try it. Just say, Lord, help me. And pick some psalms I pray through every day, part of my time with the Lord. I just read these, pray through it, want it to be true. And I know you can do that with the whole Bible. That would take, I don't have that long. Genesis 1:1, and okay, God, I'm going to start praying. And I don't know, that would be rough. So sometimes I find, man, I don't want to have so much that I speed it up, but I want to have enough that it's meaningful. You with me? You with me? Trying to help you. I'm not doing my job. Trying to help you. Psalm 27. We're going to read the whole psalm. It's 114 verses, but we'll get through it. So just checking to see if you're there. You're probably still looking for Genesis, Haggai, potato. Where's this book, potato? My dad always called it, someone would say, where are you from? My dad would say, well, my father came over from Italy. He never said Italy. He said Italy. So I would say, Dad, it's Italy. It isn't Italian. It's Italian. I said, it isn't Italy. It's Italy. And he didn't care. He wasn't impressed. He knew where everybody's from. So, verse 1. I don't know if you've got paper, you may not mark in your Bible. You may think that's sacrilegious. I don't think you should be afraid to mark. The best place to see God. When we get to that verse, I'll let you know. David has written several psalms. And I don't know if your Bible's marked, but if you backtrack, some aren't marked. We don't know if David wrote those psalms. But you go all the way back in my Bible, Schofield, he doesn't tell us that Psalm 1 is David. He doesn't tell us Psalm 2 is David, but he tells us Psalm 3 is David. Psalm 1 and 2 could be, unless otherwise marked. David wrote a lot of the Psalms, and of course in this group where we're at, everybody wants to determine when, why. You know, there's a reason. And I don't know about you, but I just don't spend a lot of time on that. You know, I think it's fun to know. It's good to know. Makes you seem smart. But I think the Lord more prefers that we do what he said rather than know why he said it. Well, here's why. I mean, sometimes that's good. But what's most important is that we do. You could know you ought to be saved and not be saved. Remember what he said to the rich young ruler? Here's what you need to do. Remember what he said? All those things have I kept. The Lord said, all right, one more for you. Remember, he walked away. He didn't say, that's just one more. I'll add that. He didn't say that. It says he went away sad. He wouldn't do it. Terrible, terrible decision. Verse 1. Note the use of the word. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of two things. I want you to notice And I don't know how you'll do this because I don't know how your brain works. Well, I'm tempted. I won't say it. But here's what you do. Notice the use of the word as we read this, and I'll help you. Notice the use of the word Lord, and notice the non-use of the word, I'll tell you later. Okay? But I want you to think about something that's missing from this chapter. Kind of obvious, but it's not there. He doesn't use, like you and I use the word, it's a biblical word used often. Not in this chapter, but you and I know that David knew that word, believed that word. Look, verse 1, he says, the Lord, there it is, 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. See the word salvation? That's a hint. He doesn't use the word, but he does say salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Can I ask you a question? And I'm really trying to go fast. I want to do that. If you don't fear anything, as he's saying, the Lord is my light and salvation, he says, whom shall I fear? So what he's saying there is he is, and I'm going to get you close, but I'm not going to say the word. Ready? If you're trusting the right person, you don't have to fear anything or anyone because things can't really hurt you. It's the whom's. So he said, not what shall I fear, verse 1, whom shall I fear? We say the opposite of fear is, don't say it. It's like the word trust. Don't say it. You can think it. Don't say it. The Lord, there he uses it for the second time, verse 1, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Did David fight Goliath? Trick part of this quiz. Did he fear him? Yes, he did, but he had something stronger than fear of Goliath. Don't say it. I just want you to think it. I don't want you to say it yet. I want it to build up. So David finishes this word, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Was he afraid of Goliath? That's a two-part answer. Yes and no. Were others afraid of Goliath? Just yes. David fights him. David fought him because in that verse, the Lord is his light and his salvation. The Lord is the strength of his life. Verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. Well, that's quite a picturesque phrase, isn't it? But it does feel like that sometimes, doesn't it? He said when they did that, they stumbled and fell. Verse 3, though a host should encamp against me, an army, a host. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. He's not saying it. I hope you're thinking it. The reason he said, I don't have any fear, is because of something that he had that was bigger than his fear. Verse 1. Whom shall I fear? Verse 1. Of whom shall I be afraid? He didn't just say, I'm big, I'm mean, I'm rough, I'm tough. No, there was something that he had that he didn't even say. It was kind of assumed. It was kind of obvious. Verse 3, the war. That, you listening? That's big. War. You and I go through stuff. He's saying, the war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. There it is again. He uses the word confident without using the word that we really want, but he never says it. And you're reading it, and I'm reading this chapter, and I'm going, man, that's there, but he never says it. Verse 4. The best place to see God. One thing. One thing. One thing have I desired of the Lord. There's the Lord again. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at his temple. You see verse 4? He knows he needs to see God, but he knows he needs to be in the place where God is. You and I always think, I hope God helps me. I hope God's there when I need him. I hope God will bless me. I hope God will protect me. I hope God will take care of me. And God all this time is saying through David, hey, there's one thing you need to do. You need to find me. That's what David is saying in this verse. If I stay there, if I'm with him, and I know he's not saying, you know, you can see him, but he's saying one thing that I'm going to go after. He said, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. See it? House of the Lord. Say, that church, it's church if God's there. I know there's a lot of places call themselves a church, but God's not there. So they say, yeah, but we're called a church. That doesn't mean God's there. It just means you called yourself. I call myself a donkey, but I'm not. Verse 5. Here he brings it up, from the time of trouble. See the word trouble? From the time of trouble. He shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. Shall he hide me? He shall set me upon a rock. Why is he there? Because David found him first. Hope the Lord helps me. I'll tell you how he'll help you. Find him first. Verse 6. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle. That right now, watch now. What he's saying there is being close to him. Where, in other words, where does God hang out? If you're looking for God, you should go where God probably is. Let me tell you where he isn't. He isn't in the bar. He's in his house. You got to be in the right, got right place. All right, watch, watch. Look at me, look at me. I'm talking to you. I can worship God at home. No, you can't. I mean, you think you can. Why in the world did he give us his church? Man, I'm tired of hearing that. I'm no such thing as home church. That's like home hospital. I mean, I guess it's possible, but it's not the smartest thing. Home Walmart. Can't get all that junk in your house. Mainly because you got a bunch of junk there already. C. sacrifices, notice in his tabernacle, I will offer in his tabernacle, sacrifices of joy. Sacrifices of joy, meaning I can't do it, he can do it, he's worth it, he'll take care of me. That's what he's talking about when he talks about sacrifices of joy. It isn't a sacrifice to have joy. It means that it doesn't come from us, it comes from him. And we want him to know that he's given us that joy and we can give it back because it came from him. Notice he says, verse 6, in the end, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. There's the Lord again, verse 7. Hear, O Lord, there's Lord again. When I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Verse 8, when thou saidst, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, thy face, Lord, thy face, Lord, will I seek. You know how much trouble you'd stay out of if you'd seek his face? You know how much trouble, not done yet, you know how much trouble you'd get through if you'd seek his face? Verse 9, hide not thy face. Can I ask you a question? I'm not trying to pull you into a ditch. It's a Sunday night question. I don't know if morning people, Sunday morning could handle it. Wednesday night people, you should see that crowd. They're not very smart. But Sunday night, they can. Some of you are like, oh, you heard that, did you? Do you ever think, maybe I'm not saved? I mean, you didn't say that, talk yourself out of it. You said that, make sure you were. I mean, doubt is good if it takes you where you need to go. But if all you do is dwell on the doubt, you're in big trouble. So if you're doubting, you've got to find the answer. So David said, I know I need your face. Please, look at verse 9. Please don't hide from me. God can do whatever he wants. You can seek his face, but if God decides that he's not going to let you see his face, that's his decision. He doesn't always do everything the way we want him to do. And by the way, look at me. I don't like that. I'm not big on that, but I know that I just got to keep. See, verse 9. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been. Do you love David? I love, but just watch how he says this, because this is just how we think. So he goes from, man, God, I'm going after your face. And then he says, don't lie. Don't lie. Help me find it. I want to find it. Then he says, put not thy servant away. Don't get mad. And then he says, you're my helper. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. In other words, you saved me. Now watch. You don't get saved because you're good. Even in the Old Testament, salvation didn't come because of what they did. Salvation came because of what they expected. They expected Jesus to come. They expected the Messiah to come. They expected that he would take care. John said when he saw Jesus, behold the Lamb of God. All the Old Testament Jews understood that because they had been offering lamb. So he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away. That's the key. Lamb was common. Taketh away, that's new. Because the only thing an Old Testament sacrifice did was atone. It covered. It did not wash away. David says, I know that my salvation is in you. Not in me, not in the sacrifice, not in the lamb, not in what I could do, not in my death. My salvation, notice verse 9, O God of my salvation. Now the word's there, but you can't see it. Don't say it out loud. If you think too hard, somebody's going to hear your thought. But I just want you to be thinking about that word. You go, I hope I'm right. Well, we're going to see. The word's there, but he doesn't use it. Verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me. That's big, hey? Remember the Bible verse, you have a face only a mother could love? I thought my dad told me that's in the Bible. I mean, your mom loves you because she has to love you. So David is saying, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord, see, the Lord will take me up. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Verse 12, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see. Believe is very close to that word, but he doesn't say it. It's obvious. I'm going to show you. I mean, I'm going to tell you the word, and I'm going to show you. It's there. Isn't it great he doesn't have to say it? I mean, it's so obvious, it's so needful. So he says in verse 13, I had fainted, given up, quit, gone back, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, or where I am now. You know what? When you get to heaven, you won't need anything. You won't need to pray. You won't need to read the Bible. Hey, if you're up there and you give me this, oh, excuse me a minute, Pastor, I'm going to go read my Bible. Why? I mean, you won't need to. You won't need to pray. You won't need to witness anybody. They're all going to be saved up there. You don't have to go around looking for lost people because only saved people go to heaven. You'll be singing. My version, you'll be dancing. You'll be celebrating. Verse 14. I don't know what it says because I've highlighted it dark so I don't have to read it. Wait. Wait, he says, wait. Wait. You know what wait means? It means trust. Believe that the Lord knows what he's doing. Is that hard? Hard for me. I'm not a good waiter. Hey, I put toast in the toaster, I'm waiting. You say, why do you do that? Because it'll pop up faster. That didn't work. No, it doesn't. Plug the microwave, you know, put something in the microwave, beep, 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 and wait. It's counting down. I hate it. I mean, it ought to just say, wait. I mean, put in 30, and then it ought not say 29, 20. It ought to just say, wait, because I'm waiting. But it needs that time. My toaster set on the darkest setting. I like it that way. And I would convert to light toast, but I'm not doing it. So I just put it dark and wait. And I'm not happy while I'm waiting. Because nothing's happening. I'm happy something's going to happen. I'm happy when it's happy. I'm happy when it happens. David says, verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He never says the word. He has said the word Lord. Look at verse 1. If you don't see it, try to see it real quick. In verse 1, he says the word Lord twice. In verse 4, he says the word Lord twice. In verse 6, he says the word Lord once. In verse 7, he says it once. In verse 9, he says God. In verse 10, he says the word Lord once. In verse 11, he says the word Lord once. In verse 13, he says the word Lord once. In verse 14, he says the word Lord twice. And there's something missing that he doesn't say. But he means. And I'm going to pray. And then I'll tell you. Father, help us to be blessed tonight. to see your face, to seek you, to find you, to trust you. I need it. I pray others will see that they need it. Holy Spirit, help me. I can't do this. I don't want to do this. If I try to do it, I'm not going to try. I'm just letting you take my words and you empower them. Fill me with you. Unfill me of me so that you can demonstrate God and His power. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The word missing is the word faith. You knew that. How many knew that? How many guessed right? Go to verse 4 and then I want to cover that issue and we'll get done as quick as we can. I promise I'll try. He tells us in verse 4 that one thing matters. He tells us that the one thing is that he needs to see God. Hebrews said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Thomas said, I will not believe unless I see. I understand that, don't you? I want to see God do something, then I'll believe. No, David is saying, look, this one thing, see it? One thing have I desired, because he knows it's right. And believe me, David is a guy after God's own heart. 1 Samuel 13:14, the book of Acts talks about David having that heart for God. It never says that about anyone else in the Scriptures. And David's heart for God, he says there's one thing, only thing that matters. He said that's to see God, find God. Notice verse 4, he says that I may dwell in his house. That means to sit down. That means you're going to stay. Somebody invites you in their house, if they keep you at the door, they don't want you in. Sorry. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But a lot of people say, come in. Sit down. They like you or they're lying. David said, I need to get to your house, find you, and I need to dwell there. I need to sit down. And when I sit down, notice he says, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Behold. The word behold means to study. We don't study God. We just use Him. Hello? Hello? Say, you in a bad mood today? No. I'm just telling you that our time with God, we shouldn't meet with God. We shouldn't walk with God. We shouldn't. Just to use God, we should study God. What does God want? We study God to figure out God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. David said, I need to find him, get in his house, sit down, study him. And then notice verse 4 says, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know what that means? Inquire in Hebrew means when you plow up ground, you're plowing it to get everything out of the way so what you want to grow will grow. You got rocks in your life? You ever see those fields? Farmers plow their fields. They got that big pile of rocks on the side. That isn't for decoration. They plowed those up. You hear John Berkey say that's right? I'm right. If John says it's right, it's right. He knows. I'm a city slicker. I throw rocks. When we're waiting for God to work, we tend to think that he's not working. Follow me, because I'm just going to take you through something I really want you to think about. I really want you to chew on. I'm not going to scream and shout. When God is waiting to work, we make the mistake of thinking, I'm trying to get you to listen. We make the mistake of thinking that he's not working or not working as fast as we want him to because we don't have enough faith. The disciples said, Lord, did you just say, Luke 17, did you just say you want us to forgive our brother every time he hurts us? Jesus said, no. I want you to be ready to forgive more than you ever will think you need to forgive. 70 times 7. Luke 17, you know what they said? They didn't say, okie dokie. You know what they said? Lord, increase our faith. Remember how he responded? You don't need more faith, he said. He said, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed. See, I think the devil knows how to keep us from being spiritual. He gets us thinking that it's us. David closes this chapter, and two times he says, wait on the Lord. In other words, trust him. Just because he isn't working like you want, when you want, doesn't mean he's not working. You can't. Please listen. You can't, I can't produce faith. For by grace, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And then to nail it down, he says, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, we put so much pressure on ourselves when we think we need more faith. Boy, I didn't have a lot of faith 49 years ago. Hey, dumb as a rock. I'm looking up scripture trying to get saved. My mother-in-law said, read these, find these, look them up. I'm looking them up. I'm smoking a cigarette. I'm trying to find these verses. I'm trying to understand. I've never, ever, in my 18 years, I've never read the Bible. So I'm reading these scriptures. I'm trying to understand, and none of it makes sense. I didn't say, God, I want to be saved, but I don't have enough faith. That problem started when I got smart. Remember what Jesus said? We ought to have faith like who? A little child. Man, it's great when we get saved, we're like little children. Then we grow up and get stupid. We wrestle, we worry, we fret. We ought to just be enjoying what God did. Trying to find God, trying to seek God. So we use lack of faith as the excuse
when we don't think things are going like they should? How do you explain the Apostle Paul if God isn't in charge? How do you say Paul was a successful Christian? He gets saved and he's always in the pokey. Pokey is jail for some of you. I mean, he doesn't look like a successful Christian, but he was. Because it wasn't based upon where he was. Wasn't even based upon what he did. It was based on who he was. He wrote, "I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep." I know you know the verse, but you're going to miss it. You ramble through it like going somewhere 100 miles an hour. Did you see that? Well, it was blurry. That's why you got to be careful with the scriptures. Don't read it blurry. Let's start again, class. Did I do that right, Lisa? I know in whom I have believed. Do you? He didn't say in what. He said in whom. And am persuaded. Are you persuaded? Paul was, wasn't he? If they said to you, put you in a jail and said, we're going to kill you, would you go, sooner the better? That's what he said. They said, you're going to die. He said, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Sounds to me like he said, sooner the better. I know in whom I have believed and persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What day? When he saw him actually. You can't force more faith into your problems. I don't have a problem with faith when everything's going well. I mean, when everything's fine, I don't go, do I have enough faith? I don't know where to go, but some say David is writing this in the midst of battles, in the midst of taking over as the king of Israel. Everybody wanted him dead. They didn't like him. Even his sons, as he's king, his sons try to usurp the throne from their own father. Man, he knew that all through his life. He's a shepherd boy and he kills Goliath all through his life. God says, you're the next king. And then Saul says, oh no, you aren't. So the minute God says yes, Saul tries to take him out. No wonder David had to rely on the Lord. So to us, if we say, well, I just need more faith, we're hoping, watch me, we're hoping that's a quick solution to our problems. But it isn't. We think trouble wouldn't happen if we had more faith. We think if we had more faith, we could overcome all of our faults. We aren't sick because we need more faith. And having more faith doesn't solve all your marital problems. Because we all have problems. Some problems are more serious than others. So we cry out to God and the answer doesn't come. And it doesn't come when we want it. It doesn't come the way we want it. So rather than blame God, because you can't do that, we blame our faith. Look, I'm God's no matter what. No matter what happens to me, I'm God's. However I go, I'm God's. If you get raptured, you're not better than me. If you don't suffer through life, you're not better. I mean, do you understand that? Faith isn't something that we produce so that God will work. And then we blame him if he doesn't work and we say, well, wait, not God, but it's our faith. Do you think God is that shallow that he would wait for you and I to come up with faith? 49 years ago, I knelt at my bed. Boy, that probably is the first video I'm going to rent in heaven. Because I don't remember what I said, but I know God saved me. My first prayer, I never talked to God. I recited prayers. First time I ever called out to God. I'm 18. I'm kneeling at my bed. I just put a cigarette out. And I'm talking to God. I wonder what I said. Huh? And you can laugh when we get there, and if you come in while I'm watching that video, you can laugh. But you know what? Doesn't matter, because he saved me. He knew the faith I didn't have. He knew the faith that I did have. He didn't say, well, I'll save you when you get more faith. Thank God he's not like that. Thank God that I saw enough that faith is a gift and I can't give it to myself. It's a gift from God to us. The more of God you have in your heart, the more faith you'll have for your problems. When problems come, you don't need more faith. You going to hear this? Do I need to say it 12 times? When problems come, you don't need more faith. You need more God. Verse 4, one thing. We say, I'll get more faith. God says, no, you need, go after God. We get distracted by things. You know this, how do you get more faith? Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So when he's talking in this psalm about the problems, he's relating you. He's having more problems than he can handle. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel that you've had more problems than you can handle? One more time. Do you ever feel like you've had more problems than you can handle? Just the way he wants it. David didn't say he needed more faith. He reminded himself that he had all he needed. The very reason he did not say faith in this chapter, because he had God. And if you have God, you have faith. He keeps talking about, remember that? Keep talking about the Lord. Verse 1, verse 4, verse 6, verse 7. Verse 10, verse 11, verse 13, verse 14. Keep Lord, Lord, Lord. Remember what the thief on the cross said? He didn't say you. He didn't say Savior. He didn't say Master. He said, Lord, remember me. If your heart is failing, go after God. Find God. Seek God. He ends the chapter by saying the strength he needs, the courage he needs, will come if he waits for God. Think more about God than you think about your problems. Hey, you got anybody like this? Man, am I going through it. Man, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Wow, it's rough. Don't you want to just say, be quiet. Find God. Is God bigger than any problem you or I could ever have? Find God. But we get so focused on what we're going through that we miss what God can do if we go to Him, if we find Him. David was a punk. He was a runt. His brothers knew that if he fought Goliath, he would die. That's why Eliab said, you need to hightail it. Go home. Saul tried to make his death slow. He didn't say you can do this. He said armor up so you'll die slower. Right? I mean, Goliath literally could just trample him. So Saul said, if you're armored up, you won't die so quick. You can hide like a turtle in a shell. Remember what David said? I can't go with these. Remember what Saul said? Go, and the Lord be with thee. And David probably turned around and said, he is. David confronts Goliath. They're all waiting and watching. It seemed like 3 days. All of a sudden, somebody said, did you see that? Somebody else said, see what? Goliath is on the ground. Someone said, you're kidding. I mean, it happened that quick. David threw a rock, Goliath down. Someone said, I don't believe it. Someone else said, don't believe what? I don't believe that Goliath is down. Someone else said, you're kidding me. When did that happen? Just a minute ago. Well, I just looked away for a second. David had business to do. David went out there to fight Goliath, not because he had faith, but because he had God. Remember, he said, the battle is the Lord's. He didn't say the battle is because of my faith. His faith was in God. I'm going to heaven not because of my faith. I'm going to heaven because for God so loved the world. We try to do what we can do. Let God do it. Trust God to do it. Your problems are never bigger than Him, so we start praying to the problem. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I can't make. Oh, if you think like that, then it's never going to. You're not putting your faith in God. You're not believing that He can help you and save you and get you through the troubles. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, that was a promise of never-ending love and unlimited forgiveness. Verse 3. I got to finish up with a couple things. We'll be done. Look at verse 3. This is a tremendous statement. Almost in the middle of that verse, he said, let the army come. Verse 3, you there? Let the army come. Notice what he says. 5 words, my heart shall not fear. Let the war begin. In this will I be confident. Confident in what? God. Every problem that you and I have should lead us to God, not lead us to a solution. Should lead us to God. So he tells us in verse 8, seek my presence. God didn't say in verse 8, seek faith, seek answers. He said in verse 8, seek my face. When thou saidst, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And the more you seek God's presence, the more that you can face your problems. Why? Because you belong to God. I belong to God. Listen to me. I don't belong to my problems. I belong to God. Period. And the only way you and I can face life problems. Watch this. This is good. I'm done. Man, get this. If I come out and shake you, forgive me. But I might run out there and just shake you. One of my cousins told the story. I said, she came in from Portland for the funeral. I said, you remember you lived across the street from my Uncle Jim? I didn't tell the story. I've kind of repeated. If I've told it, listen like I've never told it. And she said, oh, I remember him. She said, one time I was 5 years old. She said, I'll never forget. She's 64 now. She said, one time I was 5 years old, 59 years ago. She said, I was a sleepwalker. She said, 5 years old, I got up, I opened the door. She said, I went out the door, I crossed the street. It's the middle of the night. She said, I knocked on his door, and I kept knocking till he answered. I said, for what? She said, I don't know, I'm sleeping. She said, but I knocked on his door, he answered. He looked at me, he said, Mary Lou, what are you doing? What are you doing? And she said, I can't find my mom and dad. 5 years, can't find my mom and dad. Can't find my mom and dad. My Uncle Jim said she's sleeping. He grabbed her and he shook her. He said, wake up. Wake up. And she woke up. And at that time, her mom and dad came running out the front door across the street and got her. So if I run out there, tell you to wake up because you're sleeping. Now get what I'm about to say. What you and I need to face every problem that we'll ever face, the solution, the help, the need that you have is already available. Like God, send it. God says, I already sent it. It's already there. Grab it. When you and I face our problems, that's an opportunity for God to work. He already promised he would. You say, God, save me if you're lost. He doesn't say, let me think about it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, correct? Lord, not slack as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Already been provided. Problems in your life, problems in my life, show me that I need God. I need God. I don't need faith. I need God. And if God wants to give you faith, he will. So whatever I go through, whatever I'm facing, if I'm fretting, whatever's going on in my life, I just need to see God. So I need to get with him. We sang tonight, near to the heart of God. That's where we need to live. Your head bowed, your eyes closed, every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, for all of us in this room, I pray that we would live a strong, great, successful, victorious Christian life, that we would realize that coming to God got us into heaven, and coming to God, seeing God, trusting God, believing God will get us all the way on earth to heaven, the land of the living. God, help us as we wait to get to heaven, as we wait to see you work. May we just seek your face. May we get to your house. May we make it the one thing that we do. Your head bowed, your eyes closed, preacher. Before I leave tonight, I'm making the one thing, at least for tonight, at least for this week, at least for a day or two, I'm going to make the one thing I'm going to really try to do. I'm going to make it to get with God, to find God, to see God work, to trust him, to seek his face, to seek his way, to seek his power. I'm going to just sit down. I'm going to get with him and sit down and study him and plow up the field. Inquire of the Lord. I'm going to plow up the field so that he can grow in the field of my life whatever he wants to grow without any interruptions, without any hindrance. Father, please. Show us how to do that one thing. We need your help with that. Heads bowed, eyes closed, preacher, before I leave tonight, I'm going to do that one thing. I'm going to make sure that my mind is set on that. Here's my hand. Here's my hand right now. Here's my hand. I'm going to do that. Preacher, here's my hand. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Father, may this time, this invitation, these moments be good and sweet, delightful to you. May we say yes to you. May we remind ourselves we're servants and servants obey. Servants do what they're told. Servants carry out orders. May we be servants tonight. Help us. Show us. We want to wait on you. I pray this in Jesus' name.
piano's playing. Just as you stand, just as you stand. Don't tell yourself, I'm not going. Pray the prayer, Lord, you want me to go? Lord, you want me to make a decision? Lord, is there something in my life? If you feel any uneasiness about your life, man, just go. Just get up. Just move. Just turn to your left, to your right. Get out to the aisle. Get down the aisle. Get to the front. Say, oh, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. One thing I want in my life, God. One thing. I'm going to dwell in your house. I'm going to dwell where you are. I'm going to find your presence. I'm not going to live without your presence. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to blame me, blame you, blame faith, blame anything else. I'm just going to do the one thing. I'm going to get with God. I'm going to find God. I'm going to stay with God. I'm going to sit down, get all I can. She's playing it through. God, speak to your heart. Make a decision. Make a decision. Make a decision. Believe me, if you make a decision and you're supposed to, your life will go much better than if you're supposed to make a decision and you don't. You could play boss and be in control. You could play God and say, well, I'm not going to do that. You don't have to. You want to see God work in your life. Say, I'm going to do that one thing. Lord, help me do that one thing. I'm going to pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that we can find you, that we can be close to you. Thank you, Lord, that you want us to find you. We don't need a lot of faith to do that. We just need a lot of obedience. You said to obey is better than sacrifice. Help us to obey, to find you, to seek you. David said, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I pray we'll do that. I pray we'll find you and sit down, study you, plow up the ground. So everything that's supposed to grow will grow. I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen.